Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in and so good. Thousands of winter deals are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
Because I've been looking for these.
Because the best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off. Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Knock, knock.
Here we go. Who's there?
Interrupting Tom DeLonge dressed as a cow.
Interrupting Tom DeLonge dressed as a... You were going to go moo, weren't you, and interrupt me.
Where are moo? I started laughing before I could get out.
That's your fault. You ruined it.
Oh, yeah. I thought it would be even better in my mind. I was already laughing at the punchline before. Oh,
you
anyway.
You really do make the worst comedian.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a comedian. I try to bring comedy to a podcast, but I'm not a comedian, so.
Oh, well. You try. Oh,
yeah.
It's hot today, isn't it?
Oh, mate, it feels like we're in Egypt.
It certainly does, yeah. That's fitting for the theme. For those of you listening when this is released, if you remember the really hot week we had a couple of weeks ago, back in mid-June, we're currently sitting through that in our little shed studio, and it is, what, 30 degrees?
Yeah.
We're sweating our proverbials off.
Yeah.
So let's get on with it. Cause we feel like we're in Egypt, so let's travel to Egypt, because that is the theme of this week's episode, is Egypt. And by the way... Your cousin left his moustache here.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to send that back to him.
We'll send that back to South Dakota.
We'll get a bald eagle to pick it up.
A bald eagle, yeah. Most people use, like, homing pigeons, but I guess he uses a homing bald eagle.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. So, Egypt. Right, Josh, when you think of Egypt, what comes instantly to mind? What's the first thing you think of Egypt?
Pyramids.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Yeah.
Sphinx,
yeah.
River Nile,
yeah.
Scam artists that try and take your money by leaving bandanas on your shoulders.
Probably, yeah. That's good, cool. Okay, so you didn't mention King Tut there.
No.
King Tutankhamun was one of the legendary pharaohs. His tomb was excavated on September.
September, yeah.
September,
yeah.
February the 16th, 1923.
Ah.
101 years ago.
Oh, I thought it would be longer.
No, 101 years ago. And just after that happened, it became obviously a media sensation. You know, King Tutankhamun, all the gold and everything, all the artifacts that they pulled out of there. Massive news story at the time. And Egyptologists flooded Egypt. and particularly Cairo and the Giza Plateau, where the Great Pyramids are, and the Sphinxes. Now, the Sphinx was still largely buried at the time.
Oh, right.
Would you believe? Yeah.
Hmm.
Through history, through the last several hundred years, several people have tried to excavate it, and because it's such a massive object, a lot of people just put their shovels down and just gave up.
Yeah, yeah.
But in 1923, it sparked this whole wave of Egyptologists flooded into Egypt and decided to just level the Giza Plateau. They uncovered the Sphinx. There was loads of them. And one of the main guys was Hamilton M. White. He was there from 1925 to 1935. Mm. And while clearing the Giza Plateau, they found a large underground subway system passing between the Second Pyramid and the Sphinx, with shafts leading down into the ground 125 feet, with many courts and side chambers, as he himself quoted. And this was published in newspapers until the Egyptian government put a ban on publishing about the underground tunnels, and the story went dark, leaving everybody to wonder, is it true?
So they were protecting the information.
Very protective. Even to this day, the Egyptian government are quite protective over their artifacts, their relics and whatnot, the pyramids and the Sphinx itself, and we will get into that.
Was there anything in the subways, like the tunnels and things?
Not as far as I know, it was just like an underground network of tunnels that the Egyptians used to keep out of the sun while they were transporting their goods and whatnot around the place.
Hmm.
But no one really knows what it was for.
I wonder if there was like hieroglyphics on the walls and things, or if it was literally just plain tunnels.
So far as I know, not in those tunnels, there weren't, no, it was just plain tunnels.
Hmm. Sneaky.
But I don't think anybody of note has ever been back down there since. Actually, into the causeway between the pyramids and the tunnel. There's been stories throughout history. Some of the ancient Greeks and that said that they went to Egypt and they were welcomed to search through tunnels that went in through the body of the Sphinx and opened up into caverns and tunnels and a whole myriad of cave systems that you'd get lost in, they said. Yeah. But obviously these tunnels were lost to time, and no one of note has ever been down there since. But someone, in fact, do you remember we did an episode about Mystic Meg and the people who made predictions about the future that came true?
Rest in peace.
Yeah, and there was one guy that we covered only briefly called Edgar Cayce.
Mm.
He was around 1877, sorry, and he was known as the Sleeping Prophet. He would tell the future. Even when he was asleep, apparently, they'd have a stenographer next to his bed who would take notes because he'd talk in his sleep and make all these predictions. Very weird. But he predicted the stock market crash in 1929. Came true. He predicted the rise of Hitler and the Nazi Party, the fall of the Soviet Union. He predicted several presidents would be assassinated. He predicted the 44th US president would be a black man, and indeed he was.
Mm.
And he also predicted his own death, but only about 3 days in advance, so we'll leave that one. But in 1932, he also predicted that under the paws of the Sphinx lies the Hall of Records, and that contains the true origins of humanity. He said that this would not be discovered until the 1990s. And he also said that the Sphinx was more likely to be 12,000 years old rather than the 4,500 that was commonly believed.
Ah, okay, that's interesting.
Now, bear in mind, the Sphinx wasn't even uncovered totally. It wasn't even, like, completely excavated until 1935. It was somewhere between 1935 and 1939 that they actually excavated it. So he didn't even know that the Sphinx had got front paws at the time, or he shouldn't have done, because no one had ever seen them.
Mm. Okay, so that's even more of a bold prediction then.
Yeah, pretty bold prediction, that.
Mm.
Mainstream scientists obviously believe that the Sphinx was built around 2500 BC. He said it was much older than that, 10,000 BC. So how old is it? This is the question that I got lured down a rabbit hole with this one this week, because originally I was going to do a presentation about the pyramids, you know, and that sort of thing. But I just end up going down a rabbit hole just about Egypt in general. Because what do we think? When you think about Egypt, we generally think about a time between 2,000 years ago and 4,500 years ago, because the Egyptians were meticulous at keeping records. And those are that's the time period that we have records of. So when you think about Cleopatra, Tutankhamun, Imhotep, and all those types of pharaohs and whatnot, they were all in that sort of that time frame. But actually, even if the pyramids and the Sphinx were built 2,500 years BC, that puts Cleopatra, she lived closer to Gangnam Style being released than she did to the pyramids being built themselves.
Yeah, which I find absolutely bizarre.
That was ancient history, even to her.
Yeah, that's so weird. So there was obviously a civilization before, like, the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians.
Yeah.
There must have been.
There must have been, yeah. And that's kind of what we're trying to discover in this episode today, is who were they? What were they about? Because there is no records. We know about, obviously, I said that they kept a lot of records. And to start with, we didn't really know what they meant. But through the discovery of something called the Rosetta Stone. Do you know what the Rosetta Stone is?
Something to do with languages.
Yeah, it's a tablet, a stone tablet, with a paragraph written three times in three different languages. Now, because one of them was Hebrew, we knew what that meant, Hebrew is obviously a language that's still around today, although it was modernized, but, you know, we can still read ancient Hebrew just as well as we can modern Hebrew. And I think the other one was Egyptian, and another one I think might have been like Sanskrit or something like that. We could decode the Egyptian hieroglyphs, or a good percentage of them, through the Rosetta Stone and translate it. But even though we can now translate hieroglyphs, it doesn't matter where you look in Egypt. And there are hieroglyphs everywhere in Egypt. You'll walk through the desert and just find a wall in the middle of nowhere. It's got a load of hieroglyphs on it. It tells a story. In all the tombs, like Tutankhamun's tomb, loads of hieroglyphs, telling the stories of his life, and hieroglyphics that, just pictures that sort of pull out the details and help tell the story and that sort of thing. There are no records, sorry, that was just to be affirmative. There are no records of the Sphinx being built anywhere in Egypt.
In Egypt.
None at all.
Aliens.
Aliens. Well, that's a good theory.
That's bizarre. So even though the Egyptians occupied that whole area, and there's stories of all the ones that we kind of know today, like Tutankhamun.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit far away from the mic. The Sphinx is well grounded there, and there's no story of it.
Nope. It's commonly thought that the Sphinx's head is not the original, yeah?
Yeah, you've
heard of this one? Some people seem to think that it could have been a lion's head that was on top of it to start with. Lions don't really feature too much in Egyptian mythology. Yeah, cats do.
Yeah.
It's far more likely that it was Osiris's head. Yeah, Osiris was the god of the underworld, the watcher of the dead, yeah? So,
yeah.
It's commonly thought, but it is thought amongst some of the Egyptologists that the original head of the Sphinx could have been Osiris.
Yeah.
Yeah? But, there's no proof of that. There is no, like I said, there's no record of it as any other head other than the one that is there now.
I mean, it's obvious to me that that's not the original head, because it's so much smaller than the body.
Maybe. The only writing in Egypt from that sort of time period that even contains the Sphinx is found on a small stone tablet called the Inventory Stella. It was discovered by some French archaeologist. I didn't write down his name. I don't know what it was.
Pierre.
probably Pierre, yeah. And on the Inventory Stella, it describes a story of Pharaoh Khufu repairing the Sphinx after it was hit by lightning. It is theorized that maybe it was Khufu that changed it from the head of Osiris to the head that we know today. Mm-hmm. But on the Inventory Stella tablet, it only shows the Sphinx's head as we know it today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to even picture it with a nose, I think.
Again, yeah, we don't know what happened to the nose, whether it was destroyed by, you know, on purpose.
Erosion.
Or whether it was erosion. No one knows, because, like I say, largely the Sphinx was buried throughout history. Mm. We don't even know if it was visible in Cleopatra's time.
Yeah.
Because the Sphinx is something like 200 feet below the base of the pyramids.
Mm.
The actual base of the Sphinx, you know, the plateau that it's sat on is on a ground level lower than the base of the pyramids, a lot lower. So for a long period of time, the Sphinx was literally buried. And they think that it may have been buried on purpose, not just through winds of, you know, blowing the Sahara Desert across it over time, burying it. They think that possibly somebody buried it on purpose, and we don't know why.
I'm liking this. This is like a bit of a mystery.
It is a big mystery.
We need to call Columbo, get him on the case.
Yeah. So, like I say, that is the only mention in Egypt that we can find of the Sphinx from that time period of when they think it was likely to be built. Mm. And like I said, it's describing Khufu repairing it. Khufu's Khafre's father, and Khafre is believed to be the creator of the Sphinx, who built it to watch over his father's pyramid. Okay, so Khufu's pyramid is the Great Pyramid. Mm-hmm. Khafre, they think, built the Sphinx to watch over the pyramid, yet he can't have done, because if his son had built the Sphinx, then why would Khufu be repairing it?
Mm. The plot thickens.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't add up.
And also, obviously, we think that Khufu was built the pyramid for his own death, his tomb. But, and this is a Mandela effect again for some people, none of those great pyramids on the Giza Plateau has ever contained a mummy, not even Khafre.
Not a single pyramid has.
Nor any other pharaoh has ever been found inside a pyramid. They've been found in tombs in the Valley of the Kings, just up the Nile, not far away.
Yeah, that is a bit of a Mandela effect.
Yeah,
mm.
Because they've created this massive pyramid with a king's chamber, fit for a king, you know, a massive chamber in it, with a sarcophagus. But ever since we've known about it, the sarcophagus has been empty. There's never been a coffin in it or a mummy. It's just been an empty stone carved sarcophagus, half broken, but completely like sculpted out of one piece of rock as well.
Yeah, that takes some skill.
Yeah, literally, they've like scooped it out. You know, it's been dug out of this one piece of rock.
And it's all precision as well.
Very, very precise, yeah.
Everything in Egypt seems to be very precise.
Yeah. And also, and this is where I was going to start going to the pyramids, but then I ended up coming back to the Sphinx. But I just wanted to mention that there are no hieroglyphics or carvings in the king's chamber where the sarcophagus sits. If you look through the Valley of the Kings, where King Tutankhamun and Imhotep and all of those other pharaohs, wherever they've been found with tombs, there's always carvings depicting the story of their life and obviously their death and whatnot, and, you know, celebrating them as pharaohs. Yet in the king's chamber of the Grand Pyramid in Egypt, there's no carvings at all. Smooth walls.
Hmm.
Odd,
would that suggest maybe it is a different time period?
Maybe. Mm. Maybe. This is something that we were getting to. If you were to, yeah, because I mean, this is the thing. We don't know. We don't know who actually built the pyramid. And the pyramids were built to such specific specifications. Like you said before, they were master masoners. I mean, the pyramids are said to weigh something like 20 million tons. Mm. And each block could weigh in excess of 20 to 100 tons. You know, something like that. Even 200 tons, some of them. The main entrance to the pyramid also, weirdly, is offset from the centre.
Not symmetrical.
No. Which is odd. Because like we say, the Egyptians built everything so precise, it's weird that they would put the main entrance around about 30 feet off-centre from the central line of the pyramid. And the pyramids don't actually have four faces either, they have eight.
Yeah, I know that, because I saw a documentary where they had like an aerial shot.
That's right, yeah.
It shows you each one.
Yeah, a guy in the 20th century who's flying over and just at the right time of day where the sun was shining on the pyramids at just the right angle to show a seam going down each face of the pyramid, showing that each face is actually two faces in one.
Yeah.
Again, nobody knew that until recent years.
I've got something that's going to kind of add to the mystery.
Go for it.
So I was taught in school years ago by an old history teacher that she had a theory that, you know, how there's different gods and shapes and there's a lot of symbolism within ancient Egypt. She thinks that, or she did think, she's passed on now, she thought that the symbols actually represented a different body part. So the Egyptians almost knew that there wasn't a god as such, but we and our bodies and our mind, that was considered God. Right. So like, I can't even think of some of the examples, but like that symbol that you've got tattooed.
The symbol of life, yeah.
Yeah, so that actually is like a very similar shape to the womb.
Oh,
and like a scarab beetle represents like an aerial shot of like the skull with like the lines. So every body part that they worshipped had a symbol that looked very similar. So rather than worshipping gods, it was actually worshipping.
Yeah, you're actually not too far off there. Yeah. They did in their theology was not so much. I mean, I think they believed in gods. But in the same way as I believe that in ancient alien sort of gods, you know, they had visitations from outer space. And this is fringe theory, obviously, not exactly proven. But yeah, the actual the Holy Spirit, if you like, was more the collective consciousness of everybody. And, you know, that living energy is what they believed in. And the actual gods themselves were just physical manifestations of that, or aliens, you know, either or.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, main entrance is offset, weirdly enough. Don't know why that is. And if you were to visit the Great Pyramid today, you would actually go in through the robber's entrance. Because it's now believed that if there was ever a mummy in the Great Pyramid, it was ransacked years ago, possibly even before Cleopatra, you know, like thousands of years ago. So any relics, you know, gold or anything like that would have been extracted from the pyramids, you know, thousands of years ago, melted down, turned into something else.
Yeah.
And it's actually the robber's entrance where they carved through, I think, something like 80 meters of sandstone to actually get to the internal corridors. And that is where you'd actually go as a tourist nowadays, through the robber's entrance rather than the main entrance.
Because wasn't there a guy as well who had like a camera and he managed to get it through one of the walls or something, one of the doors, and then it just led to another door and another hatchway. And,
there are, inside the pyramid, they've done like seismic scans, I guess. Very clever stuff. I think they were like studying like neutrinos or something like that, and they found that there are still empty chasms within the pyramid that no one knows how to reach, or no one knows what they contain. There's no way to get to them unless there's hidden doorways or something that we haven't found yet.
Yeah,
and hidden corridors, which there have been found in other tombs. hidden corridors and doorways and stuff in the Valley of the Kings. So it's quite possible that that could happen in the pyramid as well. It's also quite possible in the Sphinx that we're studying today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And we know that the Sphinx was carved out of one colossal piece of sandstone. Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't built out of blocks like the pyramid was. It was literally carved. And they would literally carve out huge blocks, like 200 tons each. Like these things were like 30 feet long, 10 feet high, 12 feet wide sandstone blocks. When like literally hundreds of tons. And they literally carved them out, made the Sphinx, and used all these sandstone blocks to construct a temple construct. Just across the way from the Sphinx. And we know that the blocks that from the temple are the same blocks that came from the Sphinx excavation because they have the same consistent geological layering. So you can see the layers of history going through the blocks the same as it does through the Sphinx. The same geological layering that shows signs of water erosion on the Sphinx itself. And this was noticed in 1991 by an American archaeologist called Robert Shaw. And he obviously had it peer reviewed, right? They took a photo of the Sphinx.
Yeah.
And they masked off the top of the Sphinx and they took it to several leading geologists. And said, would you be able to tell the difference between water erosion and the erosion caused by wind and sand? And they from just a photograph. And they said, yeah, probably, yeah, 90% sure I could, yeah. So they handed him a photograph and said, right, what do you think this is? Is this wind erosion or is it water erosion? And they said, I would say 95, 99% sure that that is water erosion. It shows all the hallmarks of water erosion. Nothing would really make me think that that's wind erosion. And they peeled off the masking tape to show the rest of the Sphinx. And the expert went, oh, that's odd. And for this to be true, it would put the Sphinx as dated around 12,000 years ago. Just like Edgar Cayce said.
Yeah.
Because this would be around the time that the last ice age was melting. So there was a lot more moisture in the air, a lot more humidity, would rain on the plains of Africa in places that it doesn't rain today. And the runoff would hit the Sphinx's back and create this water erosion that we see. But that's not all. They also, while they were studying the Sphinx, they were doing seismic testing, looking for subsurface mineralogical changes, yeah, under the ground.
Okay.
Because this is what geologists do. They look for different layers of minerals to try and put dates on things and see how old stuff are. And they found a large room-sized cavity under the left paw of the Sphinx.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, you heard of this one? A lot of people then came forward and said, well, maybe this is this Grand Library, this... was it a library that he called it? the Hall of Records, sorry, yeah, the Hall of Records that Edgar Cayce had come up with.
Mm-hmm.
But before they were able to actually excavate down, dig down to this room underneath the left paw, this has never been discovered, by the way. No one's ever actually, or publicly, no one has ever actually been into this room underneath the left paw. It's never been excavated.
No one's ever been in?
Not as far as we know. Because the Egyptian government shut down the operation. They didn't want people excavating, didn't want people looking into it. Particularly a man called Zahi Hawass. He's like the Minister of Archaeology or something out in Egypt. He basically, what he says goes. If you want to go out and do any excavation or any Egyptology out there, he has to approve it. And he shut down the operation, banning any more excavations until 1996, 5 years later, when he himself led an excavation of the area around the Sphinx. Okay? Now, this is where it starts getting a bit conspiratorial, because they released a video, more of a teaser, really. It wasn't much of a video. It was only maybe 5-10 minutes long. But they released this video called Opening the Lost Tombs, Live from Egypt. And Zahi Hawass himself was filmed entering and exploring the tunnels beneath the Sphinx.
But not that room. Just the...
Not the room underneath the front paw. Now, what happened was there was an old worker that seemed to remember that there was a hole towards the back of the Sphinx, just to the left of the tail, and they removed one of the stone blocks, and indeed they found a hole. And so they climbed down it, and they excavated it. They went in there, basically. And Zahi was quoted saying, on this film, he was quoted saying, "Even Indiana Jones will never dream to be here. Can you believe it? We are now inside the Sphinx, inside this tunnel. No one really knows what's in here, in this tunnel, but we're going to open it for the first time." Yeah?
Yeah.
No more was ever seen or published. The project was shut down in 1998, and after that, Zahi was then quoted to say, "There is absolutely nothing under the Sphinx at all. What you believe is nonsense." So he completely reversed everything that he'd said on it.
Hmm.
He denied the existence of some of these holes and entrances into the Sphinx. There's one on the Sphinx's head. There's one on the Sphinx's back. There's the one next to its tail. And he was filmed looking into and going into, entering these tunnels, exploring inside these tunnels. And these were the only glimpses that we've ever seen from inside the Sphinx.
That seems very suspicious.
Yeah?
I mean, I get, like, he's probably been told, you know, hush, hush, protect it.
Maybe, but he is the lead man on that. If anybody's telling that, saying don't say anything, it's him that makes that decision.
That's even more of a mystery. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
Especially if there's footage of it.
And like I say, when he finished 1998, these holes were blocked up, like barricaded. No one was allowed to go in there, banned from entering ever again. But Mark Lehner, who accompanied Zahi, said that they spent 3 weeks down there in the darkness under the Great Sphinx, excavating the tunnels, seeing what was there.
Mm-hmm.
But Zahi insisted there was nothing down there underneath the Sphinx. Now, we can be critical about that, because he was definitely claiming there's nothing under the Sphinx.
So it could be in the head.
Maybe. The thing is, the original 15-page official report would suggest that he was telling the truth. There was mapped tunnels leading straight down, with an upper tunnel and a lower tunnel, but neither tunnel was shown to go under the Sphinx more than just a few metres.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Okay.
And that was all that we knew about it. And we'd only had pretty much one camera shot looking in through the tunnel, from the top of the tunnel, looking down, and all you could see was a straight shaft down with the floor at the bottom. We don't know what was inside those tunnels. No camera ever went down there to see it. Until 2020.
Oh.
When a couple of adventurous young men, unnamed, we don't know who they are, we don't want to find out, I'm not going to try and show their identity or, you know, release their identity to the public. I don't know who it was, but they released some footage of them actually climbing down the same hole that Zahi and Mark Lehner had gone down in 2020. They spent no more than 5 or 10 minutes down the hole, having a look around. They got to the bottom. They were exploring. They said, yes, it did show the tunnel only went a few meters under the Sphinx. And it wasn't clear whether they saw it or not. But on the video footage, you can clearly see, as the camera's moving around, as they're showing what they're finding, the tunnel was indeed empty and only extended a few meters. But above them, on this sort of almost like a mezzanine level, there was another tunnel that had been carved out above them, and you can clearly see wooden barricades, like a blockage, stopping anyone from crawling up through there. And this tunnel looks like it's been hewn upwards into the heart of the Sphinx itself.
Oh, so the midsection of the Sphinx.
Yeah.
They're kind of like vigilantes trying to get the truth.
I mean, but this is the big question. Could this tunnel lead to the Hall of Records? Is the Hall of Records inside the Sphinx? Zahi never said what was inside the Sphinx. There's footage of him looking down the tunnel on its back that should lead directly to where this tunnel leads into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's ancient claims that there are rooms and tunnels inside the Sphinx, but we're never going to find out. Have the Egyptians already actually uncovered the secrets of the ancestors, and are they keeping this knowledge to themselves?
Probably. And I don't really understand why. If it's got secrets and things that would help civilization, why wouldn't you let that information out? It's
a conspiracy.
Yeah. Unless Egypt has already profited off of it and they don't want the rest of the world to have it.
I have one more thing to add to this.
Oh.
Now, you have also already covered Atlantis in your earlier episodes.
Yes.
But you didn't really go through the story of Plato exactly.
No.
Now, Plato took his story of Atlantis from a man called Solon. Solon apparently travelled to Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and he met with the Egyptians back in ancient times, and he told a story to the Egyptians of this great civilization that had been wiped out by a flood, and then the world had to repopulate. And he told this to one of the high priestesses of the Egyptian culture, and she laughed at him.
Mm.
And he said, why are you laughing? And she said, there have been many civilizations. Many have fallen. And every time, civilizations have come back. They've reformed. They've repopulated from nothing. This has happened time and time again. She said, you Greeks, you only remember the last time it happening. But we have the records.
So that goes into the conspiracy theory.
Exactly. They have the records. Are the modern Egyptians keeping that to themselves?
Yes. I think so.
Exactly. So who was it? Who was it that built the Sphinx? Who was it that made these records? Who was it that actually built the pyramids? Because they, seemingly enough, are around the same age. Like, they could quite possibly be the same age as the Sphinx. We don't know, because you can't carbon test sandstone. It's sandstone. It's 4.5 billion years old. It's the same as the Earth, you know? You carbon date, it's just going to come out as stone. Yeah. Mm. However many billion years old. So we don't know exactly when it was built, how it was built, you know, who built it. I love the program Ancient Aliens, and they always theorize that, you know, there was an alien culture that came down, helped early civilizations to build these pyramids, build these things. I mean, the Great Pyramid is literally the only one of the seven ancient wonders of the world still standing.
Yeah,
but
not many left.
There are still hundreds, maybe even thousands of pyramids that are probably around the same age all over the world.
Yes.
Which means that whatever culture built them, whichever civilization it was that predated the Egyptians as we think of them, was a worldwide society.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just pyramids either. There's all sorts that are exactly the same, built exactly the
Lots
same.
Lots of megaliths.
Yeah.
Megaliths that even, like, some of them, even the megaliths that we think of, like the pyramids, are built on top of foundations which are cut stones, thousands of tons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things, like, you know, the great Cleopatra's Needle, the half-built monolith, that the half-dug-out monolith that they you see in Egypt, you know?
Yeah,
That's like 100 foot long or something, and they, you know, they got it half-carved out and then abandoned it. You know, these things are thousands of tons. How did anybody manipulate that kind of stone with just ropes and planks and, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't even have the wheel back then.
I've always thought ancient aliens and intergalactic species had some sort of part in it. But then you sound crazy for saying it.
You do, but I mean, that's what we've got to put to the paranormality scale this week. Because, I mean, I believe that there was an ancient civilization that, I mean, I don't know if they would come from the stars. I mean, when you look at some of the ancient, like, hieroglyphs and some of the carvings that we see in ancient Egypt, there are UFOs in some of those pictures.
There is, yeah.
There's things that very clearly look like what we understand to be UFOs today. And all over the world, there are pictures of the sky beings, you know, the Chinese, the theory of dragon, the story of dragons bringing down the first emperors from the sky. They wouldn't have known what a flying saucer was or a spaceship was. Yeah, quite possibly would have called it a dragon. You know, there's all these different cultures, ancient cultures that are saying these things, but scientists are just like, no, it can't possibly be aliens. Well, yeah. I don't know, maybe it is.
Yeah, because there's a huge chunk of human civilization that's just missing.
Yeah.
We don't know. Oh, I like it. It's very mysterious.
So what do you think? Do you reckon my ancient civilization was helped out by star people? Or do you think it's entirely man-made?
No, I'm swaying more towards star people.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's a real mystery. It's a good one. I'm gonna go straight in, no messing, 8.6.
8.6?
Yeah.
On the star people?
Yeah.
The ancient aliens, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think because it is such a mystery, and also the Egyptian government or the people in charge, the fact that they won't let anyone know what's actually under the Sphinx foot, and there's a whole room there, exactly. There could be actual answers.
There probably is actual answers.
Yeah. If they actually managed to get into that room, I would have given that like a 9.3, 9.6. That would be up in the high nines.
I mean, there's... I don't want to go into it too much, but I mean, there is a scripture called the Book of Enoch, which is well known to be at least 5,000 years old, that was found in Egypt.
Okay. I mean,
and this is on like parchment paper written in ancient Aramaic that scientists and philosophers and whatnot study today. And they a lot of them say it should be included in the Bible because it tells the same story, but it misses out some of the things that are thought to be doctrine to the Bible and to those times. You know, it's kind of like an alternative version of the Bible, like the people's version. But yeah, I mean, that was discovered in Egypt. It is at least 5,000 years old. So, I mean, if there's one scripture in Egypt that was found, why aren't there more? Where is this hall of records and what would it tell us? And are the Egyptians keeping it to themselves? Because they don't want everybody to know that they were helped out by aliens. I'm going to get a 9.2. Which would give us an average of 8.9.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Very mysterious. I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's one of those subjects where you've picked a good subject where it's also frustrating because I want to know more.
But it's almost impossible to know more.
And that's the frustrating thing about it. So, yeah, very, very good.
I might revisit this at some point and just go and focus more on pyramids, and we'll see what we can uncover, see if we can get a little bit deeper, but I don't know if we will.
Still don't know who actually built the Sphinx.
No.
Those sneaky Egyptians, they're full of secrets.
Yeah, and they're keeping it to themselves.
And tombs and tunnels. They know. They know what's going on.
They know.
Oh, well. That's it.
And let us know if you think, if you agree or disagree, let us know. paranormality.uk@gmail.com. You can write a comment on Spotify. You can write a comment on YouTube. Let us know what you think. And, what should we do as a call to action this week?
Cool. That's a good question.
I think we should get everybody to take out their phones and text their friends and tell them about this episode and spread the word about the Egyptians, because I think it's a worthy one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've enjoyed this episode, if you agree with us, get your phone out of your pocket, text your friend with a link to this show and spread the word and get other people behind this theory, because I think it needs popularisation.
Yeah, I also think you've picked a good one there, because a lot of people are actually into ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been...
It's fascinating.
Yeah, like Chloe's auntie, she has an Egyptian tattoo and she loves Egypt.
Oh, yeah. Same here, obviously. I've got Egyptian tattoos. And I've always been in love with Egypt ever since I played Tomb Raider as a teenager.
Yeah, yeah, good game. Can't go wrong with Tomb Raider. I used to watch a show as well called Mummies Alive, and I don't know if anyone remembers that.
I don't.
There's a cartoon. There were basically like four superheroes, and they were like dead mummies.
Right.
And they were like, one had the power of the snake, one was like a falcon and whatnot, and they were like crime-fighting mummies.
Oh,
like
fair
superhero
enough.
Mummies. It's called Mummies Alive.
I may have seen it, but I don't remember it.
That was a good show.
But anyway, yeah, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Till next time, ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Two birds and man with pot.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in and so good. Thousands of winter deals are in Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
Because I've been looking for these.
Because the best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off. Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.